Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, here it is, that famous time change Sunday. And then coming around in October, it'll go the other way. And occasionally people will come and find out how worship practice goes. But you'll be making some adjustment to that. Here we are in going into week number 10. Believe it? We're going into our 10th week, about to be finished with this aspect of going through the Word together. I think there's going to be some other things we do to go through the Word together. How many of you enjoyed this? Kind of aligning with this. Oh, two of you. That's good. Well, Pastor and two other people are going to spend some time in the Word from here on out. I don't know what the rest of y'all are going to do, but I know some of you are still acclimating, still getting here this morning. Turn in your scriptures to the book of Acts chapter 2. This last week, we read John, the last chapter, the 21st chapter, and then we've gone through the 14th chapter of the book of Acts. That was our reading for this last week. We're going to be having our share groups tonight and later on this week on Wednesday. But the challenge is to take one chapter of the book of John. So I was thinking, okay, one chapter of the book of John, and then go into the book of Acts, and where am I going to pick that up? Now, last week we talked about the Prince of Parables, right? And in there I gave you a hint. Preparation is key. It's really the story of the preparation of the soils. The people who make heaven versus the people who miss heaven are simply going to be the difference between those who respond and prepare. And we see that over and over and over as Jesus tells parables. He's stressing this idea of response and preparation. It's about preparation. It's not about where you started. It's about simply what? Preparation. So this morning, if you were prepared and went to bed early, you helped. You know, I went to bed so early. I think I went to bed at 9. Now, sometimes, in all fairness, I fall asleep at 9, 9:15, upright in the couch, and then I wake up and then I go to bed. But I actually went to bed at 9 o'clock, and I thought I was done sleep. I woke up at 12:45, and I thought any minute the alarm's going to go off, and then I had to get back to sleep and go until this morning when it went off, and realizing, okay, it's 5 a.m., but really, it's like it's 4 a.m. Yesterday. So thank the Lord for His grace and that we could be together. Isn't it good to be in God's presence? Good to be in God's presence. Acts chapter 2. Title of the message this morning is With or In? With or In? Now, don't worry, we're not going to get deep into an English lesson of prepositions. But these are words that speak of position. With or in? And we say, oh, that's just a semantic issue. No, how many of you know that there's semantics in the Bible? There's words in the Bible, and words mean things, and so we're going to pick up on this idea of with or in. So as we look at Acts chapter 2, we're actually going to start in verse number 14. Now, before we do, let me just give you the overview of the entire Bible leading up to that. No, not really. What has happened just prior to this verse? They had been gathered in Jerusalem according to Jesus' instruction. We know that they were there this final time at least 10 days. They were waiting in an upper room, and they were awaiting for the promise of the time of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had been with them. Everybody say with. Jesus had been with them, and now He said, I'm going to go away. And when I go away, I'm going to send another one just like me, even the Holy Spirit that I told you about. And he tells them, He coaches them, and where do we find that? Interestingly enough, I'm glad you asked. Last couple chapters of John, we hear a lot of Jesus coaching them about this transition. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to go away. I'm going to return to my Father's side. I'm going to be glorified. I'm going to be lifted up. I'm going to be crucified, laid in the grave, raised again, and then I'm going to be ascended to my Father. And He begins to talk to them very earnestly and seriously about the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 2, the scene opens where they're on the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish feast celebrating the giving of the law of Moses. which was brought down at the Mount of Sinai, was accompanied by a fire upon a mountain. And then 80 days later, 40 days later, Moses came down. They were messing around, broke the tablets, went back up, spent 40 more days with the Lord, came back down with new tablets engraved by the finger of God, and comes into the camp, and then they go forward from there. This is a celebration, important celebration in the life of Israel, the giving of the law at the hand of Moses. And it's on this time of the feast that they're all gathered in an upper room, and they're all in one accord, not a Honda Accord. They're all gathered in an upper room, all together, unified, expecting, waiting. And then it says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the room where they were sitting. They see tongues of fire that are then cloven and broken apart and are upon everyone's head. They all begin to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gives them utterance. They're all filled with the Spirit. This thing happens right there on the day of Pentecost. And then afterwards, there are people saying, we hear this strange thing, and here's the phenomenon. There are people who are from Galilee, who speak with a Hebrew with a Galilean accent, who obviously sound like they're from Galilee, and we are Jews from around the world. We're from all over the Roman Empire, and we have grown up speaking the native language with their accent. And we are now hearing them glorifying God in our native language with our native accent. How in the world can this be possible? Then somebody, how many of you know there's always a person like this? Someone at the edge of the crowd pipes up and says, oh, they're just drunk. How many of you know there's always a critic who just wants to take everything, throw it in a handy little basket, and then throw it out the window? They just want to categorize it as something silly, something insignificant. But this is momentous. This is important. This is the most important event in their life. This is what Jesus talked about. In fact, he said, I must go away. It's better for you that I go away, because when I go away, he can come. And this is what I want you to catch. He will be with you. He will also be in you. Now, where do we find that? We find that in John 14, verse number 17, where Jesus says, and the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives, present tense, he lives with you and will be in you. So that frames out for us this idea of asking this question, with or in? With or in? Now we look here and we meet somebody again that we've been running into, whether we read Matthew or Mark or Luke, when we read the whole book of John, we have run into this person, and we meet him here in verse number 14 in a whole different light. It says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and that was nothing new, and addressed the crowd, and that was nothing new. But after that, something's going on that is new to Peter. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is a different Peter. Why do I say this is a different Peter? We get to see a contrast. If you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you've met Peter before. As you read the book of John, you've met Peter before, and you framed an opinion about him. You've seen his willingness to step out first when no one else would. You've seen him be willing to step out and put his foot in his mouth and do it often. He has been the one who has been quick to tell the Lord himself, this shall not be so. How many of you know it's not a good idea when the Lord himself tells you something that you don't tell him? No way, Lord. It's just not helpful. When the Creator of everything says, this is the way it's going to play out, you don't come back and say, you don't know what you're talking about. But how many of us can identify with Peter? When the Lord speaks something to our heart or begins to share something with us, we want to say, are you sure, Lord? No, that's not how it plays out in Texas. That's not how it works at Vision Church. That's not how it works in my life. It's never worked that way before, and I don't see any reason for it to start right now. And we have a tendency to want to help the Lord, coach the Lord, counsel the Lord, and give him some insight. This is what Peter does. This is the guy who stands there and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And has Jesus say, that's awesome, Peter, because it's obvious to me that this didn't come from you. This came from the Holy Spirit who's with you. I'm paraphrasing heavily there. That's what he was saying. That blessed are you, Peter, for this was revealed to you. Flesh and blood did not teach this to you. This was revealed to you by the Father. And then based upon that, Jesus says, okay, now let me tell you this. From here on, we're heading to a point where I'm going to die. Okay? And Peter immediately says, this is the same Peter who got the revelation that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And he says, far be it from you, Lord. And he steps out in the path and says, in fact, I'm going to keep that from happening to you, and I'm going to keep you from happening to that. I'm going to get in your way. And Jesus' response was this, get out of my way, Satan, for you desire the things of men, not the things of God. This is that Peter. Now, wait, it gets worse. It gets worse because if you read the 21st chapter, Jesus has to do something in Peter's life. What does he have to do in his life? He has to restore him. Why does he have to restore him? Because after Judas betrays Jesus, and he's gone from the room, he's off betraying him, Jesus makes a comment, and he says this, the scripture has to be fulfilled. Tonight, the shepherd is going to be smitten, and the sheep are going to scatter. One of you is going to betray me, and here's Peter's response. These other guys might sell you out, Lord, but never me. And where did he say it? In front of God and everybody. Now the scripture says, parenthetically right there, and so said they all. But who started it? Peter. He's the one that steps out, opens his mouth, and speaks before he thinks. And so he blurts out, everybody else will sell you out. Everyone else will betray you. But me, I'm willing to die with you. How many of you know that's a tall order? That's a real determiner of who your friends are. That really thins out the crowd. Oh, by the way, I'm going to die tomorrow. I need you to go with me and be my partner all the way through death. We're good friends, Lord, but I'm not sure we're that good of friends. You know, I'll walk with you right up to that moment, but I don't think I'm going to cross over with you. I think at that point, you're on your own. And this is what Peter says. Peter says, Lord, they don't love you like I love you. I love you so much that I would be willing to die for you. How many of you know that the Lord knew better than that? He didn't put him in the same boat as Judas. He's in a different boat. But you know what? How Peter feels? He feels like he is no different than Judas. Because he has betrayed the Lord just as assuredly as Judas had. And the 21st chapter of the book of John is a chapter that shows Jesus, who has already said earlier from his resurrection, tell the disciples and Peter to meet me. And when he meets Peter, what does he do? He reconciles him and restores him to a place. What is that place? With Jesus. Now, it's very interesting when he betrays Jesus, he has three instances where people come to him and they say these words, something like this. I can tell from your accent that you're one of them. You have been with, everybody say with Jesus. And what's his response? No, you're wrong. You have it all wrong. A servant girl comes up one-on-one and says, I have noticed Jesus and the people walking with him. I recognize you. You have been with him. Everybody say with. With him. And his answer is, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. And finally, when around the fire of charcoal, he stands with this crowd. They all begin to say to him, you have been with him. You speak like a Galilean. You look like a Galilean. You dress like a Galilean. And we have seen you with him. You have been with Jesus. And his answer is, and he begins to call down curses from heaven upon him and say, there's no way. I do not know this man. I don't know him. I've never been what? With him. Powerful betrayal. You know what Jesus does? He knew that they didn't have the goods. He knew that they didn't have it in them to stand with him. He had checked them out fully. He had revelation from the Father. He had lived life for 3 years with them. He knew they couldn't deliver. They did not have the Spirit of God without measure upon them like he did. He knew that they couldn't come and drink of the cup that he had drunk of. They weren't ready. And so what does he do? He makes a charcoal fire. He feeds them when they've been skunked fishing. And then he takes Peter aside in the final chapter of the book of John, and he says, do you love me more than these other guys do? You remember at the supper when you told me that they would all sell me out, but you wouldn't? That your love was more superior than theirs? Do you remember that, Peter? Do you really love me more than these do? What's his answer? He begins to crab walk backwards. Well, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you like a fellow Jew. We're part of the great big family of Jacob. So of course I love you. How many of you know that that's not the kind of love that Jesus is looking for? Right? That's like somebody saying, do you like me? I like you. And your answer is, you're a human being, so I have respect for your life. Your answer isn't, oh, wonderful. I am so elated to find out that that's how she feels about me. You have to go to another step beyond that. And Peter has been humbled and humiliated, and he's not even sure he can make a step. And Jesus probes him again, and he says, Peter, do you really love me like you said you do? And he says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I really like you, and I like to hang around you. And the Lord says, you need to take care of my lambs. And then the third time, he asks him this, Peter, do you even like me enough to be with me? And his answer is, cuts him to the heart. And he says, Lord, you know everything. You know whether that's true. And he calls him back to himself. What's Jesus doing? He loves Peter enough to expose him to his inconsistencies and his inabilities, but he also loves Peter enough to pull him back to be with him. Because he says, the Father has given me these to be with me, and I have not lost any except for the son of perdition, that it might be fulfilled what was written in the Scriptures. Jesus knew who was going to betray him, but he also knew that there were people with him, but they really weren't very with him. Amen? How many of you ever just want to say to a person, we use this sometimes, how many of you ever just want to say to a person, get with it? How about this one? Get with the program, right? You can sense when somebody's not with you. You can sense when somebody's out of harmony. You can sense when somebody's out of step, when somebody's not in there. Just a couple days ago, Tosh and I went to see Call of the Wild. And one of the humorous scenes is when a dog that has never pulled a sled is put in the last dog position, which has the least responsibility, and he's either getting pushed by the sled or stumbling over the other dogs or falling off of the edge of the trail. He ends up becoming the lead dog later, but when Buck first gets in the harness, it is just a comedy of errors because he just doesn't seem cut out for this. He doesn't seem ready for this. And the other dogs are looking at him. You don't have to understand dog for know what they're saying with their look. Get with it, Buck. What are you doing? Get in step. Get in line. Get in the harness. Don't pull too hard. Don't pull too little. Don't be a slacker, but get with it. Do you ever want to turn to somebody sometimes and say, get with it. Get with it, man. Jesus is coming to Peter, and he said, Peter, you've been with me. You now have felt like you've been thrown completely out and off of the wagon, but I'm here to tell you there's still a place for you with me. Amen? Now, here's one of my other favorite quotes. Tosh and I do this to each other. We say this one to each other. It was a song of, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but Day and Night. I can read when she just moves her mouth. Day and Night. Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz. And there's a scene there where Tom Cruise, who is a master at spy craft, has got this newly single girl who is totally in the middle of a mess and has no idea what's going on. And she keeps trying to suggest to him what they need to do, and she keeps trying to suggest how they get out of danger. And he's trying to impress upon her this idea. She doesn't know what she's doing, and he's the master at this. And so he turns to her in one instance, and he says, these are your chances with me. These are your chances without me. With me, without me. So do you want to be with me, or do you want to be without me? And it brings her to a decision point. I can just see Jesus looking at Peter and saying, Peter, with me, without me. With me, without me. You need to get with it, Peter. If we listen very carefully, we can hear the voice of the Lord speaking into our very own life and saying to us, here's your chances with me, without me. With me, without me. Now, how about if you come with me? Jesus has taken a very special time to get Peter back with him. To get Peter back with him and in step with him. This is that Peter. This is that Peter who has just weeks before, we're talking 2 weeks before this event, was not even sure he was worthy to be on the team. But Jesus had invested in him for 3 years. Jesus had walked with him for 3 years. Jesus had coached him for 3 years. And when he stood out and tried to do something on his own, he failed miserably, and Jesus told him he would. But aren't you glad that Jesus loves us too much to leave us out there without him? And he comes and puts an arm on Peter very specifically and very specially, custom tailored, and he pulls him back to himself. This is that Peter. He knows what it's like to be with Jesus. He knows what it's like to be without Jesus. He knows what it's like to be on the inside, what it's like to be on the outside. And we need to understand as we look at this is that he had transitioned. Something has happened. A switch has been flipped inside of Peter. Something has happened to him where he used to be with Jesus, and the Spirit had been with him, and now something is drastically different. What is it? It's what Jesus had spoken of in John 14, verse number 17. You know what it's like for the Spirit to be with you, Peter. Now think about this. The Spirit had drawn. Jesus himself said, no man comes to the Father except the Spirit drawing. Peter had been drawn, how? By the Spirit. Peter received revelation about who Jesus is, really, by how? By the Spirit. He had been enabled to pray for people in villages, and what had happened? By the Spirit. People were healed. By the name of Jesus, people had demons come out of them. He had seen amazing things because he had been with Jesus. But how many of you know that Jesus has a plan for him to be more than with you? more than the Holy Spirit to be with you, that's not the complete plan. That's a wonderful thing. What can happen if Jesus is with you? You can learn. You can be trained. You can see examples. You can hear from Him. You can walk with Him. You can be in His presence. You can be sensitive to His presence. You can advance for things in the kingdom of heaven. The Holy Spirit can lead you along and draw you when He's with you. But notice something. There is something drastically different I'm trying to lay out here for you. The Peter who is with God. And when God is with Peter, when the Spirit is with Peter, and something has happened on this day of Pentecost. What's happened? Now He has come to be what? In you. With or in? So what happens? Something switched with Peter, and we get a change of perspective. Something suddenly changes with him, and he can see further back than he could see before. Something makes sense to him about the passages of Scripture, and listen to what he says. Let me explain to you, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, wait a minute. This is Peter the fisherman from Galilee. What is he doing instructing people at the feast, and what is he doing discerning the Word of God and teaching people, and he's not a priest, and he is not a Pharisee. He is not an approved teacher. What's the difference? He's not only been with Jesus, but something has happened. The Holy Spirit has come to be in him. Now somebody is speaking through Peter other than Peter. Now something is happening inside of Peter that has never happened before. Listen to this. Even when he was with Jesus. This has never happened before. This is a whole new world. This is something that Jesus said, you wait for this, guys. You've been with me for 3 years, but don't go out and tell everything that I did and what I was doing in Israel and take it to the whole world. Don't do it yet, because you need somebody to not only be with you, you need somebody who can be in you. Now, this may sound really strange, but why did Jesus say, I must go away? Because if I go away, then you can receive the Holy Spirit. And what is something that Jesus could not do while he was on the earth with his disciples? He couldn't be in them. He could only send them out with each other to do ministry. But if you were either with Jesus or you weren't with him, he was in one spot. If he was in Capernaum and they were in Bethsaida, they were not with Jesus. But now what happens? The very same Spirit of God which was upon Jesus and made him who he was is now not just with them, but he is in them. Everybody say in them. So something has happened, and it gives him a change of perspective. Now this is Peter, who just 2 weeks before had been busy denying that he even knew Jesus and had been with him. And look at this turnaround. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. And you can argue that they had just seen those things in the last month and a half. Those things they had seen. The sun will be turned to darkness, an eclipse, and the moon to blood, a blood moon, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a message. And you know what? It's not his own words. They're the words of the prophet Joel, and suddenly his perspective's changed. Joel wasn't just for back then, them and there, great, 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 great grandpa and those folks, but Joel was given for this moment, for this day, and his perspective has entirely changed, his perspective of time, his perspective of prophecy, his perspective of what God is saying and doing. It wasn't just for back there and back for them, and it wasn't for off in the future for people who were looking way off in the future, but this is a word for right now. Aren't you glad for a right now word? Give the Lord a hand clap. Yeah. So he goes on to say, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, now he's talking about the psalmist David, the king of Israel. And what is he seeing? He's suddenly seeing, this guy was a prophet too. I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Now what's happening? It's found in this next verse. You can pick it up already, but listen to the words out of Peter's own mouth. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. They could point to the tomb. But he was a prophet. Ah, his eyes have been opened. And knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Give him a hand clap. He's Lord and Christ. Amen. Do you realize the boldness it took for this man to stand up in front of a crowd and proclaim this? They could have grabbed him and taken him as a blasphemer, thrown him off a cliff and stoned him. He could have died at the hands of a crowd, because he just indicted himself in front of this whole group of people. It wasn't quietly in a room. It was before faithful Jews from all over the world. What's happened to Peter? Something has ramrodded his spine. Something has stood up on the inside of him. He has gone from, I have betrayed the Lord and I'm no better than Judas, to in filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit not being just with him, revealing things to him, coaching him, talking to him, having conversations with him, but now the Spirit of God standing up on the inside and speaking through him. And the same Spirit that inspired Joel and inspired David was now inspiring Peter, the Galilean fisherman and compatriot of Jesus for 3 years. The man who went from rags to riches to rags again, who stood out and was commended and then dealt with by Jesus harshly, and then commended and then dealt with Jesus harshly. He lived in a bipolar existence, Peter did. One minute he was getting attaboys, and the next minute he was getting a kick in the seat of the pants. He couldn't tell which way he was going half the time. But now something has changed. That which had been with him, that which he had sat and listened to, suddenly caught fire inside of him, and he had an aha moment, a light bulb, a giant light bulb. In fact, a cloven tongue of fire had appeared over his forehead, and suddenly he had that aha moment. It all makes sense now. Now I get it. Now I understand it. Because somebody who had been with him is now what? In him. There's a change of boldness. It's no longer about his learning, his understanding, and his experience, but it's now about who he has been with and now who is in him and speaking with him and through him. Wow, what a change. Not only that, but there's a change of understanding. He had understood in the synagogue. He had understood things, but how many of you know that most of the time you've been with Jesus, he misunderstood Jesus. He heard the lessons and came to the wrong conclusions. Have you ever done that? Sat in math class and then got all the problems wrong? How did I do that? I sat in the same math class as that A student. I thought we heard the teacher the same length of time. I paid attention. I really did. But they got all the right answers, and I came to all the wrong conclusions. Something's not lining up. But I'll tell you what happened in Peter's life. He had been with the Spirit, and the Spirit had been with him. After all, isn't his name Jesus' name? Emmanuel, God with us. But it wasn't enough for what the plan of Christ was, for simply for men to be with him. After all, Judas had been with him. Something had to happen to transition him, to flip the switch, and to move him into this place of a different understanding. And now he understands it. Can you see that? The light has gone on with Peter. I get it. I get what Joel was saying. I get what David was saying. He wasn't just the king of Israel and a singer. He was a prophet. And the same Spirit that anointed him to prophesy is now anointing me to understand what the prophet said. Woohoo! Amen? How many of you ever see something in the Word of God and it makes sense and you just want to go, woohoo! Isn't that awesome? You want to call up somebody or text them or share it with somebody. That's why we have share groups. I just love to see that look on people's face. Their eyes light up. Something dances in their spirit because they say, hey, the Holy Spirit has been speaking with me. He's been showing me this. And it's like, woohoo! This is the pathway. This is the way we go. Get in line. How many of you say, get with it? Go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, get with it, neighbor. Yeah. And finally this. Now notice these next couple words, and I'm going to close. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Now these are professional Jewish people. They have been living in the Word of God all their life. They sing it. They chant it. They put it on their doorpost. They bind it upon their forehead and their hands. They memorize it. They have leaders who you could put a rod through a scroll. They could tell you every letter that rod hits. They know the words, but they don't know the author. They know the words, but they don't know the spirit of the inspiration. They know the songs, but they don't know the real meaning behind it. And they're sitting there, and what's happened? Because of what's going on in Peter, because the Spirit is in him and speaking, what happens? They hear what he's saying, and it has a reaction. And the reaction is they are cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, not here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost, all the way to the uttermost parts of the earth, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Now, we're reading on here, and we figured out something. Peter has to be speaking by the Spirit because he's now saying something that he himself doesn't understand. Isn't that amazing how you can do that? The Lord can just give you a word, you're obedient, and you share it, and somebody goes, oh, my goodness, that was... And they say, well, how did you know that? Say, I don't know. Well, that's a real affirmation to people, isn't it? When you say, you know, I don't know how I knew that. All I know is that God just urged me to share that. I don't know. I just had a picture. I saw that. There's something prophetic that happens when the Spirit of God is what? In you. And he can then what? Speak through you. And here's Peter saying something we're going to prove later as we look through our studies. He even didn't get it himself that day. But listen to what he says. Aren't you glad you can proclaim things you don't entirely get in the Lord? Isn't it? And what does he say? This promise is for all whom the Lord shall call. All of them. That he will not only be what? With you. You can't even come to Jesus except he's with you. But in you. In you. Everybody say in you. Now, he goes on and he finishes what he says. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. How many of you know he had been with Jesus and hadn't seen those kind of results before? He hadn't seen that in his own ministry before. He had been with the Lord, and he hadn't seen that. He had seen some amazing things. But that day, 3,000 Jews in Jerusalem repented and converted and accepted Jesus as Savior and were baptized in water. And Peter's like, I've been running in first gear this whole time. And this engine has six gears and a turbocharger. Forget this being with Jesus thing. Something can happen. He can be in me and I can be in him. The very same Spirit of God which raised Jesus from the dead can be in me and I can be in him. And what a great difference. What a change of effectiveness. Peter had before tried to use his personality, his understanding, his location, his connection to Jesus, and all those other things. And many of those worked and were fine. But they were about being with him. Now Peter finds a new gear. He now finds a place where he can actually do the ministry of Jesus, not because he's an apostle and he's special, but because he's a believer. And this gift is for everyone, whoever the Lord shall call. Right? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. It has to start with you. You have to get with it. Somebody has to get with it. It has to start with a with you aspect of it. But here's where it needs to shift. This great passage is about that baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's about more than the counseling of the Holy Spirit with you, him speaking to you, him reflecting his word to you, coaching you and mentoring you because he's with you. Jesus said he'll be with you. But then he adds something to it, doesn't he? And he'll be in you. Now that's the option. That's the option that lays before the believer. Is he simply going to be with me and I'm going to be with him? And how many of you know you do that, you can be in heaven forever. Isn't that awesome? Because that's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. He's going to reveal Jesus to you, and you're going to be born again by the Spirit, and you're going to walk into glory. That's awesome, isn't it? But how about if on the way we move from simply being with him to being in him and him in us? And we begin to speak on his behalf, and we begin to speak with his authority and with his power and with his strength. Peter, for the first time, experiences this. And I can just almost see the look on his face. Who's that saying that? I can't believe I knew that. I've been with Jesus for 3 years, and I've been sitting here going, brr, 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 for 3 years, pretending I knew what he was saying in class. And proving at the end that I failed the test. But he got me back with him. And he promised me, not only will the Spirit be with you, but he'll be in you. And here's Peter, forever changed. I can't ever go back to simply being with. I've got to go forward being in, and him being in me. Is it any wonder that everywhere Peter goes, he's wanting to lay hands on people and see him be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Is it any wonder that he goes, he's now hooked. Wow! This is the sixth gear. This is the turbocharger. I've been running around in first gear and wrapping the RPMs up as loud as I could possibly do it and only hitting 40 miles an hour. But I've found some more gears in this transmission. And not only that, but there's a nitrous oxide bottles right up there. I can punch this button and I can find a whole new level of performance. Why? Because he's Jesus not only with me, but now the Spirit of Christ in me. In me. So I have a question. Let's all stand to our feet as we pray this morning. Quick question and a quick prayer. How many of you say, Lord, I don't want to simply have you with me and me be with you? That's a great step. But Lord, I want you to be in me and I want to be in you in that same way. I want to find another gear. I want to find a new anointing. I want to find a new level. I want to find a new place in you. I don't want to be stale and looking back. I want to be participating with you and walking energetically forward. I don't know if you lift up a hand and say, I want to move maybe from with to in. From with to in. I want to go to a whole new level. Just keep your hand up right now. Let's just lift that before the Lord. Say, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are here with us. You are here with us. You are in this room. And you are with us. And we really want you to be expressed from within us. We want you really, Holy Spirit, to be able to speak through us. We want you to embolden us. We want you to stir up the prophetic. We want you to renew or give a spirit language. We want to go to that next gear, that anointing, that turbocharging. You have a great gift that's available for us, Jesus. And before you said it, you said, I must go away. He'll be with you, but he can be in you. And there's a whole new level that Peter hits after you're gone that he never could hit while you were here. So, Lord, we're asking. Holy Spirit, we're just asking. Would you just come to us? You've been with us. You've been working on us. You've been convicting us. You've been speaking to us. We really want you to raise our game. We want to find another gear. We want to hit the turbocharger. We really want to move more aggressively into you being in me, you being in us. We invite you, Holy Spirit. We look to you. We wait upon you. And we ask for that punch of grace, that movement on our behalf. You're just looking for us to seek you, to call out to you, and to extend our hearts to you. Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. As you are with us, present yourself through us and through us as a church like never before. And we pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. And amen. The Lord be with you this week, and may the Lord manifest himself in and through you. In Jesus' name. Lord bless you as you go.